You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Emmett Maniatella.
On 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
It's 8 minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang, happy Monday. Welcome to the Clement Maniatella Show. No, actually, make that Uncle Clement Maniatella Show. I'm an uncle now, my friends. I've never been so excited, as though I'm the father. I actually told my brother, I never believed parents, especially new parents, when they describe their love for their children as this unexplainable, magical, hypnotizing feeling. I always thought, they're just too excited, right, about their newborns, hence the exaggeration. But hey, as an uncle slash father, I feel something so powerful towards my niece. So yes, I believe you now, parents. I really do. Happy Monday. Thanks for choosing to be with us here on 702 this morning. Always appreciate your ear. I also appreciate your calls on the 702 open line. So start dialing on 011-883-0702. You can send a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. The SMS line is 31702. What do you want us to talk about this morning? Oh, congratulations. Hey, we've got to say, can we clap for them, Abel? Huh? Let's clap for them. Team South Africa at the Commonwealth Games. They're doing the things. I think we have about 4 gold medals now. 19-year-old Lara van Niekerk and 18-year-old Peter Kotzie won the country's first men's and women's medals of 2022 Commonwealth Games on Friday evening. We are so proud of them. And it's not just them, hey? There's some good news also when it comes to Benny McCarthy. He has secured a move to Premier League giants Manchester United as a first team coach. He's actually the first team strikers coach for the club. It's actually a big deal, right? And how incredible is it that we are just cooking world-class football coaches? Like, think of people like Pitso Mosimane. Think of people like Desiree Ellis, in fact. It's quite incredible. And congratulations to Max Verstappen. What did you think of the Grand Prix yesterday? He won the Grand Prix yesterday. Such a deserving win. From 10th on the grid to the first, he literally drove to win it. Hamilton also came from 7th on the grid to finishing 2nd. And it's just so lovely seeing Mercedes on the podium. This was their double podium, the second double podium this season, with George Russell coming 3rd, which is amazing. But you know what I liked about qualifying results? It was dominated by the so-called second drivers. When you look at the top 4, George, who got pole position, Sainz came 2nd, yes, Leclerc was 3rd, but Norris was 4th, Ocon was 5th, and I was very happy to see Norris there at the top, because I actually think he is the next star. When Lewis retires, Mercedes needs to get a hold of Norris, because that's the guy you want to get to replace Lewis Hamilton. And him and his aggressiveness and passion matched with George Russell, I think they'll do amazing stuff. What are your reflections on the Hungary Grand Prix yesterday? 011-883-0702. Your WhatsApp's on 072-702-1702. But Ferrari is better, actually. I'm just irritated by them. Every single week after the Grand Prix, we talk about how bad their strategy is. Huh? They gave Leclerc hard tires. And when the tires are beginning to give him some pace, they pit him for soft tires. When it was actually, I think, unnecessary. Like, who is making these decisions? And why do they keep allowing this person or the people to make these ridiculous, bad strategy decisions? Yeah, so the less said about Ferrari for me, quite the better. Seppo, in Kruger, in Klerksdorp, hi.
Hi, Clement, how are you?
Kishab, how are you doing?
Kishab, my brother. You know what? I echo your sentiments. Ferrari is very disappointing. And in terms of, you know, I am such an anti-Verstappen guy that I couldn't even celebrate second place for Lewis. And only this morning when I woke up, I remembered, you know what, Lewis got second place.
Hopefully, no.
But yeah, because my focus was Leclerc must beat Verstappen.
Yeah.
You know, that was
that's the only person who had the chance to to beat. Yeah. But also, Tepo, we've got to give Max credit. Did you see how he drove yesterday? Like, this man is good. He's really great.
I agree with you, Clement. You are, you know, what happened last year happened, whatever. But we must acknowledge the fact
we
that
have to.
Yeah. But that we must acknowledge, whether we like him or not.
Yes. Yeah. Because wow.
Just quickly. Yeah. There's an incident. I'm so pained by this thing of Kruger's dog gang rape.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so pained. I'm in pain at the moment of what happened to them. I can't imagine a woman being gang raped. Ten guys, like, I'm in pain.
Oh,
I'm in pain.
Tepo,
I'm serious pain. I don't know how to, I can't comprehend it. I'm struggling to digest what happened to those ladies, those girls.
In fact, Tepo, we've booked an interview with the police, a spokesperson. I'll bring her at around 9:22, because those 80 suspects are appearing in court. And yeah, and I want to ask you, what is it going to take? Because I do feel like we are so desensitized. Like, something happens and there are 8 women or so that have been raped. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, if that doesn't get us to be outraged, I don't know what else will. And that's why you've got people like the ANC Women's League now saying chemical castration, because they feel everything else that we've tried has failed. Is it going to work? I don't think so. I don't think there's ever going to be a silver bullet, but I do think it talks to the desperation right now. Like, do we understand how big a crisis this is? Huh? Something so tragic that happened on Friday. And if you don't know what we're talking about, we woke up to the news on Friday of a group of 8 women who were raped and robbed by an armed gang believed to be illegal miners in Krugersdorp. The women were at a mine dump in the area shooting a music video. And I don't think we understand how crazy this is. Like, women were gang raped in this country. This is not normal. And it happens a lot to many women. Yes, it's probably happened elsewhere and it's never been reported, because many of these rapes go unreported and unreported. That's why I'm asking, what is it going to take? Yes, we need a multifaceted approach. There's teaching that must happen. We need punitive measures. People must know that when I do that, there's going to be consequences. We need to strengthen our investigating capabilities, our crime intelligence. But what is it really going to take for us to realize how in the pit we are when it comes to gender-based violence in this country, when it comes to rape in this country? And hence I'm saying that's why you've got populist calls. Some of the people, yes, are making these populist calls because they're just playing politics, right? You want, because it's an easy way out. Like, oh, death penalty. Let's get that, as if that's going to somehow solve our problems. But there are other people who call out for these because they're like, we've run out of ideas. We've got 3 bills now that are before Parliament, and I don't know how far they're going to go in helping us stem and deal with this crisis. They're not going to be enough on their own, but the sooner those bills are enacted and they're law, where whoever is accused of rape doesn't get to get bail, right? And if when they are successfully prosecuted, they don't get to be released on parole. We need those bills to come in as soon as possible, because that's going to form part of the bigger fight and battle against these rapes. Let's bring in Liranzu Temba now, who is the spokesperson for the police. Liranzu, thank you for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and thank you so much for the chat.
So 80 suspects that were arrested after that Krugersdorp gang rape are appearing in court this morning. What are you able to tell us? Has a link been established yet, or are you still waiting for those DNA results to establish if some of these 80 that were arrested were linked to that horrific crime on Friday?
So the 80 people that are appearing at the Majestic Court today, they are facing 2 charges. In the main, it is the contravention of the Immigration Act, And we also know that some of them are facing charges of being in possession of stolen goods. Now, we are still waiting for those DNA to basically give us a positive link that could really give us an indication of what sort of role do they have in the rapes that took place on Thursday. And what has then happened is that the detective services is now fast-tracking this process, because we know that this can take some time, but it is being fast-tracked so that we find the suspects who have really, done such immeasurable sort of damage to these eight young women. So we are still waiting for those results, but we also know that some of these suspects have been found with stolen items, and we are positive that these are some of the investigations are going to reveal who exactly, what were they responsible for.
Yeah. I read in the Sunday papers yesterday that there are some concerns around the possible bungling of this case. There were reports yesterday of some of the evidence that was not collected from the crime scene. Are you aware of that? It looks like some journalists called the police and said, this is what we are seeing here, and the police had to come back and collect that evidence. Are you aware of that?
No, that information hasn't come to my attention specifically, but we were with the investigative team just yesterday when the minister was meeting with the survivors in Alexandra on Sunday, and that was not raised at all. In fact, you know, the general that is heading this investigation has enormous amounts of years in this sort of field, and we as a ministry are quite confident in her as well as her team's capabilities. But what you're bringing out is something that has not come to our attention as a ministry, and it is something that would be a concern if it were true. But we also do want to, in the same breath, Clement, I do want to raise this point, which was raised by some of the families around the intrusion of journalists in this ordeal. We've seen the families, beg the minister to put a stop to journalists coming to their homes, because we understand that their addresses and their names have been circulated. We don't know how
the
we
victims.
Are investigating that as well. Of the victims, Clement. Mm. And we understand that some media houses are basically harassing these families, looking for interviews, looking for some sort of scoops. We know that it is something that is of concern for a lot of South Africans. It is of media interest, but we also, as a ministry, are appealing to journalists, and we've even contacted SANEF to also appeal to its members to really practice restraint, but also to give the family some time as they navigate this very difficult journey. So we are going to be meeting up with SANEF. We already had a conversation with them yesterday, and we are going to be furthering this conversation, because the families really came out to the police ministry pleading with us to do something and put an end to what they term as harassment.
Yeah, and I mean, the families don't even need to get to a point where they ask for the intervention of the police minister. As journalists, we also need to be responsible enough to respect when the rape survivors or the families of these rape survivors are saying, we're not ready to talk. Our job is to tell stories when they are ready to tell the story. So when you've approached someone and they say, we don't want to talk, or we're not ready, or our lives are at risk, we need to be able to respect that. You don't need the families to now even go to the extent of getting the intervention of the police minister. Thank you for raising that, Laranzu. Lastly, I can only imagine how difficult this time is for these rape survivors. Are the police working with them in getting some information around the identities of these people? And because they were there, they saw them. But at the same time, as the police, you want to give them the opportunity and some space, given what they experienced on Friday. So how is that working?
Yeah, I mean, just yesterday we met with the families, mostly, you know, parents of these very young survivors. And this is an important part, Clement. We're talking about 19-year-olds here. One of them was raped 10 times, or rather, she was raped by 10 men during this ordeal. It's really sickening. But the point is, these survivors, some of them are so brave, to the point where they are really working with the police to try and really identify the suspects. When we left Alexandra as police station, the detectives there were busy with getting as much information from them through interviews, but also there will be a process where they'll be having to have identikits put together. And essentially, they are helping with investigations. And we also know that the parents are also there holding their hands. I mean, what I wanted to reflect in the statement that we released yesterday, the police ministry, that these are just not figures. It's not just a 19-year-old. These were, you know, people with really budding and really promising futures. We're talking about makeup artists. We're talking about models. We're talking about people that had ambitions being in the television industry. And these are the people that were roped in to have this, production take place for a fee, and only for them to be met with this, you know, terrible brutality. So they are working, they are cooperating with the police, and we really are positive that we are going to bring them some level of justice. And this is why the SAPS has also unleashed its elite units to try and find these people in whichever hole that they are hiding in. These units are working around the clock to try and find them and to bring them to book.
Have you, as the police, sufficiently dealt with the issue of illegal minors? The community of Krugersdorp, in fact, we were scheduled to speak to one of the community members. I'll try and see if I can have her just after the headlines, who talks about how they are constantly terrorized by the Zamazamas, and they feel the police is not present in the area. They have literally taken up a control of many of the communities where they operate. So where are the police? Because their absence then creates this conducive environment where they think they can do as they please.
Yeah, and this is something that is not just being discussed within the SAPS context, but also with the Minister of Police cabinet colleagues. He's had a discussion with the DME minister, and where there needs to be pressure to be put on these mining houses. Because essentially, Clement, when it comes to the rules of a play here, is that when a mine is disused, it needs to be closed down adequately. There cannot be any more sort of production happening, whether it be legal or otherwise. And this is what we are finding increasingly happening, especially in a place like Krugersdorp. And, you know, for the benefit of your listeners, Lieutenant General Mawela, the Provincial Commissioner of Gauteng, has been operating in those areas. I know that he's had various operations in Randfontein, which is also a similar mining town, and they also have a similar problem with, you know, illegal mining. And we know that it is those illegal elements that do attract these crimes. Can police do enough or more? Of course. And this is why now that this very area where this terrible rape incident took place is under lockdown. Not only are we trying to root out the people, the undesirable characters there, but we're also trying to make sure that this place is sealed and there isn't more of such, heinous acts taking place.
16 people were murdered last month in a tavern shooting. There were 4 that were killed in another tavern shooting in Pietermaritzburg. 2 were killed in Katlehong. There was 1 in Mamelodi. Now we've got this. On Friday or 2 days ago, there was another shooting in KwaZulu-Natal. As the police, do you still not regard what's happening as terror attacks? And do you still don't think these attacks are coordinated?
And this is the same question that we get asked all the time. In fact, the National Commissioner in the next hour is going to be briefing the media around these sort of attacks that you're talking about. But just to answer your question, Clement, the evidence that has been presented to the police ministry does not suggest that these are coordinated attacks. It is coming across as though it is criminal elements. And the reason why we are comfortable with that explanation from the SAPS is because of the arrests that have been made. And these arrests are not a similar, you know, group of people that are being arrested for these attacks. We know that arrests have been made in Pietermaritzburg in the shooting that took place in July. We know that there has been an arrest in Katlehong. We know that there has been an arrest as well in a different, I just can't think off the top of my head which other one, but there has been various arrests in these sort of attacks, Clement. But the information before us does not suggest that it is coordinated.
Lorenzo Temba, Minister, the spokesperson for the police minister, thank you so much for making time. Look, obviously we need to be guided by the police, the investigators. What are the investigations revealing about these attacks? But they are happening at, the incidents are happening so close to each other. And I remember we were calling out Qatar. Was it Qatar that sent out a statement and characterized the tavern shooting as terror attacks? And we were asking, okay, but where do they even get that? But my goodness, you've got to start thinking, is there no coordination here? Is there no attempt to destabilize things? Given the many attacks that we've seen, have you seen in KZN? Someone came and just started shooting indiscriminately. Who does that? And that's happened in many other areas too. Now you've got these women who have been raped. And there are people who argue, we've had so many of these incidents and there's no way you can't actually even name them as terror attacks. Are you waiting for a bomb to explode for you to call it a terror attack? I mean, this is a mass rape. It's actually often an instrument of war. Mostly in war zones. Not only, but mostly in war zones do such crimes happen. And sometimes we've got to call it like it is. What do you think? It's just after 9:30.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela.
On 702.
It's 24 minutes before 10 o'clock. Let's go to Piet, who's calling us from Krugersdorp. Piet, good morning.
Good morning, Clement. How are you?
I'm all right, Ben.
Yeah, I'm lost for words, Clement, with the headline that hits the news from on Thursday.
Mm.
But for Krugersdorp residents, this is nothing new. It's been happening day and night. There's been incidents reported even on the Krugersdorp news a couple of months back. There was a young lady who was abducted by 9 men who subsequently raped her before they released her.
Mm.
There have been abduction cases in and around the R28 area. I stay in the complexes around the R28. We use that road morning and evening. It's not safe even to drive at night, to an extent where we're even considering moving, because I'm a father of girls, and if I'm going to raise my kids in such areas, it's really heartbreaking. The police are filtering the information which they release to the press. The killings, the shootings, the rapes, this is happening day in and day out in and around Krugersdorp. We even went as far as going to ask some of the police friends that we know, how come you're not doing something about this? And they're telling us straight, we fear for our life because these people are heavily armed and these people don't hesitate to shoot.
Mm.
When you phone in to report a case at night, then you'll be told there's only 2 or 3 police vehicles that would cover the entire area, Krugersdorp North, Krugersdorp West, and the Manzenville area towards Newark Haven.
No.
While our police vehicles are parked at home by those that shall have knocked off at 4.
What's the issue, Piet? What do you guys understand? Who do you understand to be behind these crimes? Are they young people that are on the streets, that are unemployed? Are these just criminal elements, or is there that involvement of the illegal miners who are operating in that area?
Look, frankly, I'll tell you, it's the illegal miners that have occupied the area. Because over and above the illegal mining that they are doing, this is what we are discussing as a community. To say, if they were conducting their illegal mining but not committing other crimes, then you'd understand that it's poverty-related issues. But it goes as far as them having to commit these crimes. So there are so many people that we know from these illegal miners. There's been cable theft issues. We've had to protect the guys that came to reinstall the cable that was stolen because they themselves are even afraid to go and assist. So West Village area is highly, highly, highly a no-go area. I've got a friend who got shot at randomly for just passing by the R28 while he was visiting the other day. The police knows exactly what has been happening and they are afraid of confronting these issues.
No, Piet, it's about time. And we've been talking about Zamazamas for how long? My goodness, I think I've done stories like 8 years ago about Zamazamas. And there's always been this conversation, even in government circles, about how you bring them into the formal mining sector. But how far are we? And if they, right, if people who live in, I'd like to hear from more people who live in not just Krugersdorp, right? If you live in Krugersdorp, what's your experience? But if you live in other areas where there's these illegal, you know, mines and where illegal miners operate, what's your experience there? Because something is not okay. It's one thing to be an illegal miner and government must deal with that, right? But it's another to also operate as a gang and do as you please in communities. Mark, in Deep Kloof. Good morning.
Hi, morning, Manyata.
Sure.
Yeah, man, you know, I want to compare also with the last caller. Hey, things are tough, man. Things are tough, my bro. On a little deep, on a people, hey, gunshots, man. This is like, it has turned, the place has turned like a shooting range. No, it's terrible. Robberies, no street lights. You know, we've reported this thing to police station, you know, about how long ago, you know, about close to 3 years ago, and nothing is being done.
Yes. Yeah, Mark. Yours is an experience of many other people out there. Thank you for calling us, Mark, in Deep Kloof. Hector, in the Pretoria CBD, good morning.
How are you, Clement?
Sharp, how's it?
It's just unfortunate I couldn't have chance to talk to Lera through Temba. I want to put a question to the police ministry. Our national minister, the minister of police, is he properly briefed before he go or run to a crime scene? Because when he goes to a crime scene and is rushing to the media to say what happened in the crime scene, at the long run, he starts changing his statement. And it's becoming an embarrassment for the people and the people who listen to the commissioner. He went there, he said 9 Nigerians were part of the people who committed this gruesome activity, rape. But only to find out that those Nigerians were part of the crew that were shooting a video or music event in that area. But when you utter that kind of statement,
Hector, when did the police minister say that? I don't remember him saying that.
Sorry?
When did he say that?
He said that on DMCA.
That Nigerians are responsible for this.
He said 7 Nigerians were part of the people who gang raped the ladies.
No, Hector. Okay, can you send me a clip, please?
Okay,
I don't want us to make general.
I have a clip on my phone. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, please. I'm putting you back to the producers now. They'll give you our WhatsApp line, 0727021702. Send us that clip.
Yeah. Okay.
Please, send us that clip, Hector, in the Pretoria CBD. Listen, I may have missed it, but I just doubt it. How does a police minister go out there and say, yeah, the Nigerians were involved here? I think it was quite clear, even from a Friday, that there were people who were part of the filming of this music video, and some of them included Nigerian nationals. And I didn't hear the police minister make a suggestion that they were themselves responsible for raping this woman. But let's wait for Hector to send us that clip. Maybe it's something I've missed. Sillo in Centurion, hi.
Hi, Clement. I also work in that area in the mining industry. Mm. 3 years ago, we lost a young mining engineer who was a mine manager for Harmony. Because I'm responding to Rand when he say mining houses are not doing what they're supposed to do. Mm. When that young mine manager was doing what he's supposed to do, he was killed by Zamazamas. So Zamazamas are not artisanal miners. I want us to disabuse ourselves from this. Because Zamazamas even kidnap artisanal miners to force them to mine for them illegally. So to me, as a person that is in that area, who has to leave work at 2, 3 o'clock because when it's getting a bit late and there's no longer traffic, everyone starts being fearful. I consider these people not to be terrorists. Because what they do, they first of all, they deal arms. They have to buy these high caliber weapons, so they arm dealers. They traffic Basotho from Lesotho for sold people to come and work on this mine and enter South Africa illegally. So they are human traffickers. So our problems are bigger than what they even kidnap our own artisanal miners that need to be regularized to work for them. When we catch these people inside underground, the only thing that they charge for is trespassing. They pay 350 rand and they'll be out within hours. So police know this thing. And local police, I challenge you, Clement, to go to Cook Mines, in Randfontein, Cook 1, 2, 3, and 4, and just you can smell the fear. People are fearful. People can't walk a distance because people are all over the place.
Sorry, Sillo. When you say people are fearful, and that's why I'm asking, is it time to call it what it is? Like, people feel terrorized. There's terror. They're fearful of walking at night. They're fearful of going to have fun at a tavern because they don't know what next, what else is going to be happening next. And for the police minister and government to keep insisting that, well, these are not terror attacks. Even though the evidence seems to be suggesting so many attacks that are happening close to each other, so brazenly so, I mean, that's got to make us sit and think, what could be going on here?
It's terror, Clement. If you go to Orkney, it's happening. If you go to Klerksdorp, Potchefstroom, in Klerksdorp right now, the young people of Klerksdorp are trying to organize themselves to fight Marashi, these Basotho people. And as a result, we have a secondary problem now, because these young guys of South Africans who are fighting these Basotho, they become gangs themselves. And if they're not well managed and they start doing wrong things. But when they started to defend the communities against Basotho. So we need to deal with this thing. Whenever we find these people, 99.5% of the time they are Basotho and the others will be Zimbabweans. It is never South African. And we need to deal with this thing. But somehow we choose not to deal with this for what it is. Right now, I can't walk from Cook 1 to Cook 2. Now, during the day, I can't because there's
Kunesganga
like in between.
Yeah, so Kunesganga, that whole bush, then it makes things much easier, right, for those criminal elements as well. So let's go to some of the voice notes on 072-702-1702.
Hi, Clement. I 100% agree with you. These seem like organized terror attacks. And I'm so scared for our future if this is what's in store for South Africa, because already with the host of problems that we have, we're going to be seeing the same issues as with America, people just randomly shooting people. Scary stuff.
Morning, Clement. The gang rape is so sad that it was a gang. But let's ask ourselves as South Africans, how many rape cases are reported daily and nothing happens to it. Therefore, we would know that we are responsible to allow and create the culture of rape to continue. Because if it's not dealt in small sizes, it will grow, Bongani, to being a gang rape that we see today, instead of from Zakan.
A message here. Hi, Clement. Krugersdorp is truly devil's dorp. Last year, about the same time, someone jumped into our yard, shot my husband dead and ran to hide in those trees. We have been forever asking them to cut those trees. Oh, that's what that SMS says. Another SMS says, Clement, the lady from the community was interviewed on TV, said they've been complaining about the Zamazamas to the police and nothing has been done. Please ask the spokesperson about this. No, Zamazamas have always been an issue. Like I said, I've been reporting about Zamazamas, I think 7 years ago already. We were reporting about Zamazamas. And at some point, I've even spoken to the previous mineral resources ministers, mining ministers, who spoke about a plan to formalize and bring them into the formal economy. But there are criminal elements as well, and you need the police to really come in here. It's 12 minutes before 10.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
I'm sorry, but I don't buy this pretentious anger from Becky Cele about this Krugersdorp gang rape issue. We have got Zamazamas here in Reveille. They carry big guns. They do it in front of the police. Are we waiting for them to go and can rape other kids before he comes here and make a speech pretending that he's angry? No. These guys know you about these things for a long time. But they're very reactionary. When we complain, they do nothing. So all this anger and hullabaloo, I don't buy it. Godfrey.
Morning, Clement. As it's the day after the Formula One, I'm pretty sure you're going to be talking about it. Listen, I just cannot understand now what's going on with Ferrari. I mean, the decisions are so poor. It's borderline sabotage within their own team.
True.
No idea what at all is going on with Ferrari. Cheers, it's John from Midrand.
John, John, it's so frustrating. It really is. It really is. And like I've said before, in the absence of Mercedes having a competitive car, I've chosen to support Charles Leclerc, right? I've chosen to support Ferrari because I think they are the ones that only have the chance to beat Mercedes. I mean, Charles is the only one who has the chance at this stage to win the championship. That's the only way I'm supporting them. So, but they're disappointing. They're constant. I mean, Charles Leclerc is constantly apologizing on behalf of Ferrari after almost every single race. And they've probably had about 7 pole positions this season. But what's the point of getting pole positions when you don't convert those into wins because of ridiculous decisions and poor strategy? It really is frustrating.
Hi, Clement. It's welcome here from Sandton. Oh my goodness, Max Verstappen is a brilliant, brilliant driver. Absolutely brilliant. And I'm a Mercedes fan. I love Lewis Hamilton, George Russell, but that boy can drive. And the way I'm seeing it, he may very well go and, you know, win 8 titles from what I'm seeing. He may just surpass Hamilton if he's not careful.
Probably. That's possible. So here's the thing. I mean, yesterday, I've got to say, I found myself getting up and clapping and screaming, right, with the way he was driving that car. It was just incredible. And I remember thinking, because a friend of mine said to me, oh, but you're not a Max fan. I was like, yeah, but I acknowledge that he's a brilliant driver. And the thing about sportsmen, and I've said this before, is it's not enough for me to be your fan as a sportsman, sportswoman. It's not enough for you to have the skills and be competent and be talented, right? For me, it's contextual, right? Yes, Max is a great driver. Yes, Lewis Hamilton is a great driver. But Lewis Hamilton, I'm drawn to him because of his story. I'm drawn to him because of his context, his politics, right? I'm drawn to him because of his humble story, because of his activism, because of his personality, also because of how he dresses, because he's bloody stylish. But what I'm saying is, it's not enough to just be Max, who's a great driver. I also look at, what are your politics? Do you have problematic politics? What's your personality? Like, what's your history? Like, I look at all of that to support a sportsman, whether it's in Formula One or it's in soccer. Context for me really matters before I decide on who I'm backing. And for now, I'm really backing Lewis Hamilton, and I'm also backing, what's his name, Charles. And I'll stop backing him if Ferrari doesn't get their house in order.
Your voice,
your station,
your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
Butana, you're calling us from Rosebank. Good morning.
Clement, good morning.
Sure.
The biggest problem here is the ANC government that is incapable to solve this crime. They've been knowing about this thing for years. Yet they did not do anything. Those people were not supposed even to be there in the first place. They know it. The problem is them. They are incapable of doing anything. Now they were there in Nazareth, protected, armed, escorted. Yet the communities are exposed to crime. Yet communities are exposed to poverty.
Yeah.
It's the ANC people that are incapable to solve this crime.
Mm. Butana, got you in Rosebank. Matt in Rustenburg, hi.
Hello, sir, how are you?
Sharp, how's it?
Good, thanks. All these attacks against the country is against a democracy. And I think for the president to get a hold of it, he needs to institute a state of emergency so that our armed forces can go into this informal settlement and root out these people with guns and undocumented and all of that. Because it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. It's picking up as time goes. So we don't know when we're going to get shot at wherever we are in the country, because this thing is orchestrated. There's people who are running it. They even came out into the open last year in July, when they were making threats that this country is not going to be the same if the president, the former president, is going to be arrested. Mm-hmm. And now we are reaping the benefits of what happened last year. But why is the president not taking serious efforts to make sure that all these informal settlements are cleaned out completely?
Now, Matt, state of emergency. I don't think you're going to see that anytime soon. Let's listen to some voice notes.
Good morning, Mr. Manyathela. One other concerning factor, I think we should have deep conversations around the challenges that SAPS is facing, whether they're lacking resources or they don't have capacity. I think there should be also a transparency coming from SAPS so that those issues could be resolved, you know, because of some of the cases have been reported and they are not attended to. So if there are sort of those kind of challenges, they should be transparent so that we can work and assist as a community. It's Tabangye. Thanks.
Good morning, Shaft and 702 listeners. The police minister said this morning that 9 of the 13 gentlemen that were involved in shooting that movie or the film were Nigerians. He never said Nigerians were involved in the gang rape of a young girl. So Hector is mistaken. But police minister mentioned that there is more things that they are busy investigating, and there is more to what meets the eye. So we are expecting the police commissioner to come and tell us what else was uncovered there. Thanks.
Yeah, that's why I said to Hector, that doesn't sound... Yeah, we're still waiting for Hector, by the way, to send us a clip of Becky Gele saying exactly that Nigerians were involved. Even Lorenzo Temba, I've asked her on WhatsApp, and she says, I've listened to that interview. There was nothing like that. And some of you are tagging me on some of the videos. I'm not hearing Becky Gele say that.
Clement, it is good enough that SAPS is saying all these things and calling others accountable. However, if you've seen the video that was circulating, women in Krugersdorp have been calling for police, SAPS itself, to make that place safe for everyone, but they didn't do so. So they must take responsibility about this case of these women who were raped, and they must just take accountability and just say they have not saved these women and their families well, and they haven't saved the community of Krugersdorp.
Hi, Clement. Good morning to you and all the 702 listeners. Yeah, in your intro, you talked about Benny McCarthy being given that powerful position at the Manchester United first team. Yeah, congratulations to him. And I think we're going to learn to appreciate him more now that he's gone, he's that side. Because when he was here, we talked a lot of things. Negativity or Benny this, Benny that, but yeah, all the best to him. Thank you so much. This is Joel from Watville in Benoni.
Ah, congratulations to Benny, man. This is quite a big deal. He's now joined Manchester United as a first team coach. It's gonna be fascinating. And watch, you're right, we're going to be appreciating him more as a striking coach, I should say. And we're going to be appreciating him more now that he's in with Manchester United. I remember when they were looking for, was it Kaiser Chiefs? And there were people who were, you know, who put his name forward and said, maybe this is someone to consider.
Hi, Clement. This is Zola. I am a diehard Lewis Hamilton MX Aries supporter. You know what? You need to give credit where credit is due. Max Verstappen drove the wheels of that Red Bull car. And you know what? Congratulations to him. Yeah, it did well. It did well. But it's also good to, like you said, to see double podium, two and three positions. You know, Mercedes is coming up. They're coming up. It's going to be a very interesting second half of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So, are we going to Abu Dhabi or not? We need to get over that trauma, last year's trauma. And part of doing it is confronting your fear. So we should go to Abu Dhabi there and sing and clap for Charles Leclerc to be the champion this season. Huh? Are we going or not? It's 10 o'clock.